And welcome back to another episode of Non This Business Bites. I'm Ben and this is Sia. Now, here's a question for you. Are you working for your tech stack or is it working for you? 90% of people out there use 10% of their tech stack, whether it's Microsoft Office, whether it's Adobe Suite, whether it's social media software. Doesn't really matter what tech stack you have, whether it's your CRM, whatever. Most people utilize the stuff that they're comfortable with, the stuff that they know, the stuff that they've been taught, and they have no idea what their technology actually can do. And when people sit there and say, you know, what tech do you know? I go, well, let's turn that around a little bit. Let's sit there and say, what tech do you have and how are you utilizing it? Because we can all learn technology. If we understand Microsoft Office, we can use Google Suite. We could use, guess what, WordPerfect. I think it still exists.
No way.
You know, there's 50 different CRMs out there. They're not that much different. Yes, some go a little bit this way, some go a little bit that way. But the technology and the thought process and how they interact are not that much different that you can't learn things fairly simply. The trick is to sit there and say, what do we want this software to do? How do we want it to work for us? How do we want to utilize it in ways that are going to allow us to not only be effective inside our organization, but be able to help us help our customers be more successful? So Sia, let's nod this.
Ooh-wee. Okay, so I am guilty. I know
we all are.
I know there's so many platforms out there where I know I'm underutilizing it intentionally, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and it's designed, and I feel bad for these programmers who program some of these great applications and platforms, and they're like, hey guys, we're gonna make your life easier, we're gonna make it more efficient. And like, to me, they end up ruining it. Like, they just make the GUI even worse, or they just like screw it up. So case in point, Canva. I think Canva is a great tool. Mm-hmm. I use it all the time. I mean, it's so good. It's so quick and easy for its purposes and I need it for. And then they start dicking or monkey jacking with the GUI. And they're like, oh, if you want to, share to your team, we've moved it. I'm like, why would you move it? It's right. Like, share.
Or hot buttons. Like, why would you change my keystrokes?
Oh, that's gotta be true. I mean, so there's gotta be a good reason why you would do that, unless there's like massive amounts of, from the launch of that product, everyone complained. I can see where they're like, okay, we heard from you, and control F key pound number 4 italics may not be the command that's going to work for, you know, adding an extra space, right? Like, I get that. But when you have something that I feel there's just so many times they just change it just to change it. And it's like, no, what are you doing? So there's that side of it. I feel like it's the, sometimes the challenge is the programmers, the ivory tower people aren't mm-hmm. actually using the product. They are designing the product the way they think based on their life experiences of what human behavior would look like to use that platform. And then you've got the power users who will use it. They know everything. They probably created, they're the power users are probably the ones where they're the ones that like gave us new hotkeys. And you're like, no.
They're the beta testers. They're the ones that are so far into the software and are always looking for the new toys and new development. God love those people.
God love
those people, but they're not the majority of people. The vast majority of people look at any software package and go, way too complex. I need bold italics underline. I need to change fonts. I need to be able to highlight stuff. I need to be able to, I need to be able to change the color of the font from purple to green. Fine. Great. Let me be able to do that.
Yeah.
Do most people realize that Microsoft Word is actually a decent, not a phenomenal, but a decent publishing program? Like, there are things that things can do that things that can be done with Excel that most of us can't even dream of.
Okay, can we talk about Excel?
Sure.
talk about underutilized, understood. Like, people who know how to use Excel are gods, as far as I'm like,
my
they are
son
magicians.
Is a god at Excel. My friend Michael is a god when it comes to Excel. It's amazing what these kids could do.
I'm just proud of my like sum and drag and drop, right? Like, I'm like, woo, what did I do? You know? So yes, I think, but here's the deal. Like, when you have tools like Microsoft Suite, right? When you have platforms, you know, like some kind of CRM where it's there, you use it how you need it, when you need it, and it works for your needs, right? Wants, for that matter. It's when you start doing behavior that's really out of your comfort zone. Let me take a step back. What I'm about to say here. Sometimes there are bells and whistles in platforms that are literally just bells and whistles and nothing more to the actual function of what you need. It just feels like a prettier thing and it makes you feel better. Maybe call it the serotonin dopamine rush, right? And then there's others that are just pains in the wazoos where like, I've just wasted my precious time when I could be doing another task. Mm-hmm. And that's when I think comes back to your question is are your tools working you or are you working the tools? And that's a really tough question for business. I think in the context of running the business, some things have to be done very process and regimented, like accounting people. You can't really create an accounting. And if you're creating an accounting,
my accountant is pretty creative. But that's a story altogether.
I'm like, yeah, well,
that's what the footnotes are for.
Yeah, that's what you better freaking put like a slush fund to like pay him out of jail or something like that. But anyway, I'm joking. But I do think, though, that if you have the ability to do your daily tasks, do it effectively, and you happen to see a more efficient way to go about it that the platform allows you to do it, then I think it does behoove you to learn it to go faster, more efficiently. Now, again, it's got to make sense. It can't be that weird, you know, behavior that we were talking about, right? So it's such a dance. It's a dance, really.
Yeah, and the challenge is, what's a bell and whistle or a why did they put this in for some people? Somebody else that's, oh my God, you just made my life so much easier. You know, so it's a matter of being curious as software. I find the number one thing is we're not curious. We know what we know. We utilize what we use. And sometimes we do things so inefficiently with software packages because we don't take the time to either learn the software or explore the software or challenge the software to see where it is. Sometimes I've sat there and said, I want software to do X. I've done that. I've called Microsoft Word out and said, why is the software not doing X? They go, well, we're not sure. I go, well, this is something that pretty much every business owner would want. Well, we haven't designed it that way. Okay, but can you put this on the request list? Yeah, but it could be 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And
hey,
so
at least they're honest. At least they're honest.
But they're absolutely honest about it. But you sit there at times, you sit there going, sometimes the software does amazing things and we don't know it does amazing things. A lot of times the software is just chunky and dysfunctional and, you know, works against you because it's just either outdated, outmoded, or just not built effectively or with your particular needs in mind, but it may be great for somebody else. And software can't be everything to everyone. I think the first thing we need to do as companies is sit there and say, what are we trying to do? What are the challenges that we face? What are the things we're trying to achieve? What's the information that we need to get out and be able to disseminate? Okay, now let's figure out, utilizing the software that we have in-house, that we've already bought for, that we already have licenses for, that we already have, you know, some experience using, can this software do the additional things that we don't think it can do yet? 8 times out of 10, the answer probably is yes, if we've built out a semi-robust tech stack. You know, every once in a while, you got to throw something in the garbage and you got to buy something different. But the question is, how well does the new software integrate with the workflow that you've already built? So we need to be thinking constantly, not as software as standalone, but how does it integrate? How do we use software in concert to be able to make our businesses work more effectively, both for people inside the company and for customers, and not frustrate both? Because people say, well, I'm sorry, it took me 5 days to be able to, you know, cut and paste this information and be able to put it in a document so I could do the information that I need to do to get back to you, instead of having a Zapier that just pulls the information out of one document and puts it into something else.
But you're thinking, okay, so it's two things here you're making me think of. One of which is do you think it's human nature that we tend to look at things as point solutions? I have a need to fix this problem. I want to write a paper, Microsoft Word. That's all you're good for. That's all I want. Never mind, there might be other things that we're picking on Word because you're talking about it. But
because
like
we are, yes.
But that could be leveraged, right, for something else. Do you think, let me go back to my other part. With part one is, do you think it's human nature to just see platforms as one purpose product, one built, and that's how we use it, and that's where our brain goes? And secondly, if we do that or don't, do we actually read the manual?
Never.
Like, raise your hand, guys, in the audience. Let me know. Applause. Give me the applause. Give me that little green thingy and click on it, okay? Someone actually DM'd me the other day. They're like, why do you always say, like, give me an applause? Like, I'm going like this. And I'm like, oh, no. What I'm saying is hit the emoticon.
Hit
like,
the emoticon, would you please?
Hit the emoticon, not just – because you know what a lot of people do? They do the applause in the comments, but not the emoticon. So
exactly.
The reason why I say that, you guys, is so you can see the little applauses going up in the air as the thing on LinkedIn. And you can do that on YouTube, too, where it's like a little heart, red heart. Anyway, okay. Thing. But, you know, raise your hand, guys. Do you read the instruction manuals? I sure as hell don't. I have.
Hey, listen, we don't read the terms and conditions, let alone the manual. So
I have a gimbal. I don't know how to work. I have two gimbals and they don't work. I don't know. I tried to read the instructions and I got bored. I get it.
And that's why people go to YouTube.
I couldn't even watch YouTube. I got bored. Well, no. Actually, no. Let me clarify. I went on YouTube and they're like, oh my God. It's like, have you ever built IKEA furniture where they're like step one, step two, step three, step four. And then step 10. And you're like, wait, what happened to like 6 through 9? Like, and wait, but it's like
all the time.
It's like the 10th step, but it's still step 6. And you're like,
but software manuals are like that as well. I mean, the thing is that software does that as well. It's building off assumptions, and it's assumptions that people follow a certain set of logic, and we all don't.
Yeah,
what's logical to you is not logical to me, and vice versa. You know, I love it that, you know, as you said, the YouTube videos that start at step 3 because they assume you know how to get into your settings tab. Like you assume you know exactly how to get into settings in Windows 11. And where to go looking for this subdirectory that is, you know, hidden 12 levels deep. But that all this comes down to user interface. This all comes down to using the tech stack. This all comes down to we need to be thinking about the customer. My friend Patrick Callahan has a saying: it's innovate from the customer backwards. And we need to assume not the customer is stupid. We need to assume that the customer doesn't know that what we know, and that the customer is utilizing this for the very first time, and therefore they need to be taken on a journey to enable them to be able to be more successful. And tech stacks need to be done like that. So we need to sit there and say, it almost needs to be almost like an Amazon thing is, if you like this, try this. You know, and there maybe there's hint bars within software that says, hey, if you like this type of command, if you're doing this type of thing, you may want to look at here. Here's a video on how to do that. But that leads to a whole bunch of more, you know, step and process and cost for organizations. I get that. But we need to sit there and think of how do we utilize software and how do we create software that solves problems and not just has, as you said, bells and whistles that are there because they're pretty and they're somebody thought they were cool when they were designing them, but don't have any real function.
I know we have to land this plane here.
Yes, we do.
But I'm just going to say this. I think this conversation is also very interesting because of this age we live in. Mm-hmm. I think this would have been much more of a robust debate. But now with the advent of our AI chat friends, it does make us learning or getting the answers we need a hell of a lot faster.
True.
I'm just saying, because I cannot tell you how many times where I'm just like stuck somewhere in my job. And I'm like, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to do this. And then I just, hey, buddy. And then they give me an answer. And I'm like, well, it worked. Thank you. So
ChatGPT, you know, is the new YouTube.
I mean, it is. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that's all I was going to say.
You know what? I think what we need to do, and let's land this place right now, is we need to take a look at our systems, as our processes, as our software, as our systems, and sit there and say, how do we make it work for us? Because softwares are designed to work across a variety of different people, places, and companies. Granted, it doesn't matter how it works for IBM. It doesn't matter how it works for Microsoft. It only matters how it works for you. So utilize what you need, throw the rest of it away, and make something that's effective and efficient for you. I'm Ben.
I'm Sia.
And we'll see you soon.